You're listening to the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network, part of Sports Illustrated, giving you daily NFL Draft, Dynasty, and Devy Fantasy Football podcasts.
To the Devy Seminar. I'm your host, Matt Hicks, the FF Educator, joined as always by John Lobb, the Gridiron Scholar. And we are continuing on our college fantasy football preview series, talking about the wide receiver position here, a really dynamic position this year, especially in college football. And as a quick reminder, whether you're listening to all of these episodes through a Devy lens, a college fantasy football lens, a dynasty lens, Campus to Canton, we cover a wide range, a deep dive on all of these prospects. So this should be another great episode. John, so glad to have you here with me.
Great to be with you, Matt. And there's two theories that I've seen this year in college fantasy football. My host on the college football podcast, Scott Bogman, and a good friend of mine, Mike Bainbridge, they invest in top shelf wide receivers early. I'm talking like they're very comfortable going back to back in the first two rounds with heavy wide receivers. And I understand that because it is a little top heavy, the rankings, and they're looking for those 1,200 to 1,400 yard receivers. After you get outside the top five, the wide receiver board is going to shuffle and change depending on who is drafting. I'm very comfortable drafting wide receivers a little bit later, rounds three, four, definitely by rounds five. But you have to have patience and you have to believe in your rankings because you do not want to get lost. You do not want to go into the sixth round and not have a top 24 wide receiver.
All right, and that's exactly what we're doing here. Just like our last episodes, we're going to count down from 24 to 1, and we'll also have some bonus sleepers for you at the end. But, John, let's go ahead and jump right into this thing here, and we're certainly attacking it right off the bat. Jaden Whaley out of Mississippi State in Mike Leach's air raid offense. John, as a true freshman last year, 52 receptions, 718 yards, just two touchdowns, but I think we see an increase on that this year.
I agree with you completely, Matt. I go all the way back. One of my first college fantasy football picks was Michael Crabtree in 2009. It was his second year at Texas Tech, and that was Mike Leach's system. I mean, Michael Crabtree was one of the great college fantasy football wide receivers that I've ever seen. However, ironically, no receiver in a Mike Leach system has been as good as Michael Crabtree over a decade ago. However, Jaden Whaley here has a little bit of potential to inch ever closer to those Crabtree type of numbers. When he's been at Washington State, he wasn't recruiting that top level five-star wide receiver. He was getting a lot of players who were good wide receivers, but not elite. Now at Mississippi State, he can plug in top athletes if he can convince them to play for Mississippi State and the Bulldogs. I like Jaden Whaley here. We have him projected at nearly 1,000 yards on 71 receptions and five touchdowns. He's a top 24 wide receiver, Matt. Go get him, everyone.
All right, John, this next name here, number 23, it's a name very familiar in the Devy circles, and I think it's time to fully lean into it for immediate production, and that's Jahan Dotson out of Penn State. John, a former four-star prospect here. We've been waiting on the last few years. He's heading into his senior campaign, and he's coming off of a nice season for the Nittany Lions. 52 receptions, 884 yards, and 8 touchdowns. So, John, we just need to hope he can overcome that horrid quarterback play there with Sean Clifford.
That's a different story for a different day. But Dotson, if you want to see some great tape, watch him against Ohio State last year. That's when he really, I was just blown away at how well he played against the Buckeyes. And we know Ohio State has NFL-level defensive backs. Dotson, from a Debbie standpoint, he has a lot of what you're looking for with a track and field background. If you do your research, the multi-sport athletes in high school, especially track and field runners, they have a higher percentage of making it as NFL stars or NFL prospects. There is no question that Dotson is on that path, everyone. He ran the 4x100 relay in high school and the long jump. He also was a punt returner, averaging 24.6 yards per return. I agree. He has to overcome Sean Clifford. But the one thing I will say about Clifford, he will get the ball into Dotson's hands, and Dotson will be productive for the Nittany Lions this year.
Absolutely. So, John, this is really interesting. We're covering a wide range of player types and profiles here right off the bat, because with Josh Downs out of the University of North Carolina, we have another totally different situation here. So Downs really doesn't have a ton of proven production, just 7 receptions as a true freshman last year. But oh boy, is he stepping into vacated production, playing with one of the top quarterbacks in the country. And of course, North Carolina seeing both Dyami Brown and Daz Newsome head to the NFL. John, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe Downs will be playing in more of that Dyami Brown along the boundary type role, coming in at 5'10", 175.
He should step into the boundary role and replace Dyami Brown. Josh Downs was a 4-star recruit, and he had 187 catches for 3,019 yards and 32 touchdowns over his final 3 seasons in high school. He was highly recruited, and we've discussed it. Mack Brown has done a very good job at bringing on high-level prospects to the North Carolina campus. In college fantasy football, you do have to take a leap of faith. We talked about this at the running back position on our last episode, Matt. The same is true at wide receiver. You're going to have young wide receivers without proven production on the field, but they're going to step into dynamic offenses in the skill position, the X or the Y, in which they should thrive in that offense. Also remember, Josh Downs is playing with Sam Howell, a third-year quarterback. The targets are going to be there as long as Josh Downs runs the correct route and gets to the spot. Sam Howell's going to get the ball into his hands. Also, go watch the tape against Texas A&M in the Orange Bowl. Though a lot of the Tar Heels players did not play, they were getting ready for the NFL draft, including the receivers we were talking about. 4 catches for 91 yards and 2 touchdowns. Josh Downs looks like a future star in college fantasy football, Matt. He's going to be very good for the Tar Heels this year.
John, how about number 21 on our list here? Ty Freifogel, one of the best stories coming out of Indiana last year. 37 receptions, John, averaging 19.5 yards per reception, 721 yards and 7 touchdowns. And that's on 8 games, John. And remember, Michael Penix missed the end of last season, but I believe the reports are that he will be ready to step back into that role this season. And that's going to be a big bump for Ty Freifogel.
I've been watching the Michael Penix news very closely. As we get closer to kickoff, it is looking more and more positive. I've actually been bumping him up my college fantasy football quarterback rankings. Obviously, we're going to get that news within about 3 weeks. But yes, it's looking very good right now. Matt, Ty Freifogel is being overlooked in college fantasy football. Last year, he was the Big Ten Richter Howard Receiver of the Year. Check out the competition that he beat. David Bell, Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, Johan Dotson, Rondell Moore, and Rashad Bateman. And Freifogel, the Hoosiers receiver, defeated all of them for the award. I do not understand why college fantasy football players are overlooking this young man. I think he's one of the best values according to ADP right now, especially with Penix coming back. He's 6'2", 205. He's coming back for a fifth year, everyone. This is a very important season for Ty Fogle for his NFL prospect. And I think the Hoosiers are going to feed him the ball to get him into, you know, the all Big Ten selection, maybe win back-to-back Richter Howard Receiver Awards. What a great value right now. He's going outside the top 30 wide receivers, Matt.
All right, John. Last week we talked about dual threat players, which made a lot of sense in our great running back episode. John, you don't always get to talk about dual threat players when you're talking about wide receivers. But here with Ball State's Justin Hall, we absolutely have the opportunity to do that. Over the last few seasons, John, averaging at least 600 yards, including last year's COVID-shortened season, just 7 games. But he also had 30 rushing attempts for 231 yards and a touchdown. Over the last 3 seasons, John, at least 20 rushing attempts. And, of course, we're talking Maxion here, so there's always opportunity for big production.
When we recorded the Debbie seminar and we did the group of 5 teams, I had selected Justin Hall, and I mentioned he could be this year's Dwayne Eskridge moving up draft boards. Now, the college fantasy football universe already know how spectacular this young man is. He's only 5'9 and 186, but Matt, he has jets on his feet. He is just an incredible dual threat playmaker. And I love these wide receivers who give you points in the rushing game. Justin Hall, I'm excited to watch him this year for Ball State. And he's in my top 20 in college fantasy football, Matt.
All right, now let's head on over to Coastal Carolina here. Big wide receiver coming in at 6'2", 190, and immediately clicked here with Grayson McCall in his immediate, you know, freshman season there. 65 receptions, 998 receiving yards, and 10 touchdowns last year.
Matt, one of my favorite teams last year was Coastal Carolina. What a great team. Javion Helu is 6'2", 190 pounds. When you watch him play Sun Belt defensive backs, Matt, he just towers over them. I'm not sure if he's an NFL prospect. He is a borderline right now. He's someone we have to watch develop. I'm not exactly sure if his route running and the nuances of the wide receiver position are there as an NFL prospect. But we are looking at college fantasy football. He just beats defensive backs with his size, with his hands, the offensive scheme. I like him a ton this year. I'm very happy. I think in my first 10 drafts, I have him on 5 teams. He always seems to slip down boards. And I love watching the Chanteliers play football. Go get him, everyone.
All right. Now we're heading from the East Coast all the way to the West Coast, John. We're going with Fresno State. And we are fans of the Bulldogs here on this podcast. And we're going to go with Jalen Cropper, 6'0", 160, John, but a really dynamic wideout.
The Bulldogs are one of the more interesting teams in the nation. And from a fantasy football perspective, what a triplets they have. We talked about Jake Haener, their quarterback, on our quarterback preview show. Last week, we were discussing Ronnie Rivers, their dual threat running back, pass catcher. And now we got Jalen Cropper. Matt, he is a star in the making. Very tall, 6'0", but he only weighs 170 pounds. But last year, 6.17 receptions per game, almost 87 yards receiving per game. I like him a ton. I do want a piece of this action of Fresno State. one of these triplets. I seem to get one almost in every draft. Go get Jalen Cropper, everyone.
So, John, now we hit a big name here, one that's going to be familiar to everybody listening just about. But it's an interesting discussion, John, on talent versus situation. And Chris Olave here, I think for a lot of folks, certainly for me, he is the wide receiver one right now in this 2022 draft class. But he has a lot of talent surrounding him as well. So I love Olave. I think he comes with a really high floor, John. I love his hands. I love the way he wins, the way he separates downfield. He's quick. He's tantalizing. He's fluid. I think, John, he has a chance to be a future Pro Bowler in the NFL, but he has to fight off a lot of other highly recruited, very talented wide receivers, including Garrett Wilson, who might end up being the wide receiver two in the class.
Matt, the Buckeyes are just loaded at wide receiver. Now, I happen to be on Team Wilson, and I happen to be in the minority, looking around at Debbie rankings, looking around at college fantasy football rankings. I tend to have more of Garrett Wilson than they do Olave. Doesn't mean that I'm right, and I could change my position over the course of the year. I tend to think Garrett Wilson is the more dynamic of the two. I think he's a better route runner. That's just my notes, what I've seen. I also like Garrett Wilson because reading notes from the Buckeye coaching staff, spring sessions, they are going to employ Wilson all over the field. So I think he might have more opportunities. We'll talk about that later. I do believe when we have two elite wide receivers in this system, I'm probably going to draft whichever one comes off the board second, Matt. That's just how I kind of rank. Let someone make the decision. Let my competitors decide if they want Wilson or Olave, and then I'll try to get the other one. I tend to end up with Wilson. Olave, 6'1", 189 pounds. There's no question how good he is. And yes, he's probably a first-round draft pick, Matt. That I agree with you without any question. The only concern is sometimes we're going to talk about players who are clearly the number one receiver who will constantly be peppered with targets. When you have Ohio State, you have a couple factors. They're going to blow people out. They spread the ball around because they have so much talent. And sometimes they're not going to play in the fourth quarter. So Olave could have a game with like 4 for 45 and a touchdown, and that's it. Where there's other players, the teams aren't as good. It's a more competitive game, and they're the best player by far on the team, so they get more targets. That's one of the reasons I move Olave down a little bit.
All right, John, moving on here to another big name and one I am certainly excited to see back on the field in 2021, and that is Justin Ross out of Clemson. So Ross, an interesting story here. He comes in at 6'4", 205, a big wide receiver for sure. John, you go back to the 2018 season, and Justin Ross, as a true freshman, led the Clemson Tigers in receiving yards, 1,000 exactly. That was more receiving yards than T. Higgins, who, of course, we loved going through the process and has started off very well in the NFL, more than Amari Rodgers, who was just recently drafted by the Green Bay Packers, and more than Hunter Renfrow. What a loaded offense that was, John. And Justin Ross was standing out right off the bat. Now, of course, the storyline here with Justin Ross is that he suffered a season-ending, almost career-ending neck injury, which wiped out his entire 2020 season. But to this point, John, it looks like Ross is going to be cleared, not officially cleared yet, but looks to be officially cleared here within the next week and ready to hit the field again. And if he does, you know, catching balls from DJU is not a big downgrade from catching balls from Trevor Lawrence. I'm expecting another big season from Ross. And, John, one more final note. Out of spring ball, the reports were that Justin Ross will be playing in the big slot role that Clemson loves to use for their wide receiver one position. So I think he's going to eat.
You know, last year we saw Amari Rodgers rise up the college fantasy football board, one of the best waiver wire additions of the year, ended up getting picked by the Packers. He played in the slot. Dabo Swinney has said a couple times, and he's been very optimistic, that Justin Ross is going to be a star in that position in the Clemson offense. Clemson's not LSU, Alabama, or Ohio State at wide receiver, but Matt, they have a ticket in the first class section. Go all the way back, Sammy Watkins, DeAndre Hopkins, you know, Mike Williams. They are loaded. The scheme takes advantage of the talent at the wide receiver position. Dabo Swinney gets the ball into the hands of his playmakers. I have been very bullish on Ross. I've drafted him now in 7 of my first 10 leagues, Matt, because I'm willing to draft him when he falls to the 5th or 6th round. The ceiling is so high with Justin Ross. And when he's my second wide receiver, I'm very happy with that. Now, there are CFF owners who will not embrace that risk, but I will, because everything I read, and I'm wishing the absolute best for this young man, because I had him atop my Debbie rankings before he got hurt last year, and I was very worried about his career. But everything that I've read, he's going to come back, and he's going to play this year. Give me all the Justin Ross I can get, Matt.
Absolutely. John, coming in here, number 15 on our list is Jakeri Roberson out of Wake Forest. Now, Roberson already was pretty high up there, pretty well regarded, 62 receptions, 926 yards, and 8 touchdowns. But, John, the other wide receiver for Wake Forest that a lot of folks were excited to watch year, Donovan Green, is now reportedly missing the entire season, which really means this passing attack will filter through Roberson.
I was ecstatic about Donovan Green because he was falling, and I actually got him in one best ball league in round like 19. And it is unfortunate that young man is not going to play this year. There are two ways to look at Jakeri Roberson. You hinted at it. Jakeri Roberson is the last man standing in an explosive offense. So the number of targets should be there. And obviously the coaching staff is going to try to get the ball in his hands. Paradoxically, defensive coordinators and defensive backs know the exact same thing. I do believe Roberson is a quality enough athlete, route runner. He's in a good system. Coach Dave Clawson of Wake Forest is underrated. One of the things that he has done very well, he doesn't get the 5-star recruit like Clemson. He brings in this 3-star young man, keeps him in the system, and he often has juniors and seniors and fifth-year players who know the Demon Deacon scheme, and they perform well. Jakeri Roberson should have about 10 targets a game, Matt. And anyone with 10 targets a game, I'm going to take him on my fantasy team. Roberson should be very good this year.
All right, John. And somebody that I know a lot of folks are getting excited about, college fantasy football, Devi, the NFL draft community. Everybody seems to be turning their attention to Zay Flowers out of Boston College. John, in 11 games last year, clicking with the incoming transfer at the time, quarterback Phil Dracovich, who I am very high on from an NFL draft perspective this year as
well. Very underrated.
Flowers connected with him immediately. And I think that they're going to push each other's draft stock up because they are a nice duo. 892 yards and 9 touchdowns, averaging over 15 yards per reception last year. I'm very excited about Zay Flowers, 5'11", 178.
I am also, Matt. And here's why, one of the reasons I'm comfortable bypassing receivers a little earlier than some college fantasy football fans. Every year, there are players like Zay Flowers early off the waiver wire. I saw the game against Duke because I was interested in Phil Dracovich coming from Notre Dame. And they had a new coach. The Eagles had gotten rid of Steve Adazio and that ground-and-pound offense with A.J. Dillon. And against Duke, he had 5 passes for 162 yards and a touchdown. I immediately picked him up off the waiver wire, and I played him, I think, nearly every week the rest of the year. The one thing I can tell anyone listening right now, the wide receiver position is more likely to be waiver wire beneficial than any other in college fantasy football every year, every week. It is wildly fluctuates. Zay Flowers was one of those guys last year. And if you can grab one of these wide receivers early off the waiver wire, it could change your team. So that is one reason why I am a little bit willing to be patient in drafts. But I agree with you. Zay Flowers has caught the attention of the Debbie and Dynasty community. I like him a lot, especially in this BC offense.
All right, John, somebody who you absolutely should be considering a sleeper, and he might play his way out of sleeper status here for the 2022 draft class, is Jalen Tolbert out of South Alabama. Last year, Tolbert caught 64 balls for 1,085 yards, 8 touchdowns. He's got the size, 6'3", 195. I know he's on NFL draft radars, John. He could rise as high as a late day 2 selection.
There's no question how good Jalen Tolbert can be. The NFL scouts, the big ones, the Daniel Jeremiahs, the Mel Kuypers, us in the Debbie community, we now know him also. But they've been talking up Jalen Tolbert. As an example, in Mel Kuyper's top 10 early prospects, he's the only group of 5 wide receiver in the top 10, ladies and gentlemen. And in order to get that type of national recognition at South Alabama, you really have to impress the scouting communities. The first thing I think anyone will notice, 6'3", 195. Last year, he surpassed 1,000 yards on 64 receptions with 8 touchdowns. What makes him interesting? You probably remember, Matt, I know I do, Jake Bentley, the former quarterback at South Carolina. Now, he's the quarterback at South Alabama. Jake Bentley wasn't really good enough for the SEC, but I do believe he will have success at the group of 5 level with Jalen Tolbert. Tolbert, we had mentioned the challenge with Chris Olave. There is no question that Jalen Tolbert, he might get 14 targets a game, Matt. He is a rock star in college fantasy football.
Oh, my gosh. Jake Bentley. Oh, my gosh. He was out at Utah. All right. We can't get on that tangent. That's a whole other one that we could head down. But, John, instead, we'll head into our top 12. And this is an interesting one right off the bat. Drake London, 6'5", 210 pounds. John, I just did Drake London's film review, and it's a reminder all the time. You know, watching a player live on TV versus doing the film review, you pick up on a lot of different things. And Drake London left me with a lot of complicated feelings, John. You see a big wideout with nice hands, but they used him almost exclusively over the middle in the short third of the field, comeback routes, drag routes. I almost saw an athletic tight end more than I did a wide receiver, but he's only 210 pounds. So how he'll shake out in the long run, I'm not sure. But what I do know, John, they have a lot of vacated production at USC, but also a lot of talent rising around him. Drake London, he's going to be a fascinating player to watch this year.
I concur with you, absolutely, Matt. And the NFL prospect profile is clearly far from being finished. He did dominate in the slot. There are not a lot of, you know, Pac-12 defenses that can deal with the 6'5", 210-pounder who played forward in college. They can't deal with that size and physicality. USC, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and Tyler Vaughns has left the program. Lots of vacated targets, as you mentioned. To me, Drake London's analysis to this year, can he move outside successfully? I've talked about this with you. I believe it's easier for receivers to go from the X to the slot or inside than it is from the slot to the X, especially in the NFL. Drake London, if he wants to increase that NFL draft stock, Matt, he needs to successfully make the transition. At worst, the Z position for the Trojans, I would prefer him on the X on the boundary, as you had mentioned with Josh Downs earlier. What makes Josh Downs so interesting? He has the tools to be a boundary receiver, just like we saw last year with Dyami Brown. Can Drake London do that? I don't know at this point. The film does not tell you that he can do it. And another thing, when you talk about London, the difference between watching film and kind of highlights or box score, you do see him once in a while make some deep passes down the field, but that's not the norm.
Right.
You could have a very one-sided perspective of Drake London running 20-yard patterns down the field. No, that's like, what, 10% of the routes? But those are the big highlights. So we need a big growth year from Drake London. But in college fantasy football, Matt, he's going to dominate the Pac-12 this year.
Maybe a Freudian slip. They might be heading back to the Pac-10 the way things are going, John. Or the Pac-16, who knows? All right, speaking of realignment, we're going to head to Oklahoma. Marvin Mims is our number 11 guy here. And this is an interesting one, John, because for some folks, you might say, I almost feel like it's got an Ohio State feel to this Oklahoma offense, right? It's high-flying. There's a lot of talent around him. But I would argue that Marvin Mims, to me, is going to be the clear volume guy in this Oklahoma offense. And catching balls from Spencer Rattler, who, remember, folks, a lot of people have him as the presumed Heisman winner and, you know, on to the number one NFL draft pick. Last year, John, 37 receptions as a true freshman for Mims, 610 yards, 9 touchdowns. You got to think that is the foundation, and we're going up from there.
People look at the depth chart of Oklahoma and they see a lot of talent. Matt, a lot of it's young and inexperienced. Marvin Mims should be the most heavily targeted wide receiver for Lincoln Riley and the Sooners this year. That's why I have him at the top of the pecking order for the Sooners. And I have him in the top 12 wide receivers. Last year, he was dynamic, Matt, immediately as a freshman. He had 13 punts for 162 yards. He had 4 touchdowns over 45 yards as a true freshman. We know that Oklahoma is going to take their shots deep down the field. The system with Lincoln Riley is going to get receivers open deep. Also, Spencer Rattler, buying time in the pocket, is going to get the ball deep when the secondary breaks down. I love Mims this year. I do think he's underappreciated in the college fantasy football universe. He should be a total stud. He might disappear for one or two games because sometimes the game script will go away or just something. He won't be peppered with the number of targets. But other than that, he should be a bounty of points every week.
All right, John, from the young guy to somebody else who it seems like has been around forever, Reggie Roberson out of SMU. Remember, originally from West Virginia, transferred back to SMU. And, John, he clicked well with Shane Buechel over the last couple of years. Over 800 yards receiving and 6 touchdowns in both 2018 and 2019. Unfortunately suffered the non-contact knee injury that took him out for the second half of the 2020 season. But he's ready, John. He's making a comeback. 6'0", 200. I have him projected out to be late day three NFL draft selection. So I do think he is on that level of caliber. Certainly a player whose film I enjoy a ton. But SMU also is going through some changes. A new quarterback there at the helm.
I really wanted to rank Reggie Roberson even higher, Matt. But when I looked into the profile, he has suffered injuries each of the past 2 years. And they lost their quarterback, Shane Buechel, who you mentioned. Now, Tanner Mordecai comes in from Oklahoma, ironically. I mean, he wasn't going to beat out Spencer Rattler, right? So the young man wants to get on the field. He transfers to SMU. And ironically, SMU does really well in the transfer portal if you're
not. That's their thing. They're huge on the transfer portal, and they're smart about it. Sorry to cut you off, but they are the transfer portal team. They do it like nobody else.
There's no question. Sony Dykes is way ahead of the curve on this one. The offense is there. The scheme is there. Mordecai should be able to lead a smooth transition. Remember, they're playing in the American Athletic Conference, so there's not a lot of great defenses. So as long as Reggie Roberson can stay healthy on the field, I expect a huge year. The question is, I move him down a little bit because you have to embrace the injury risk.
John, in our quarterbacks episode, which again, if you haven't listened to it, you got to go back. You got to listen to the quarterbacks episode. We talked about Carson Strong. Well, John, he's going to be throwing the ball here to Romeo Doubs. All right. 6'2", 200 pounds, over 1,000 receiving yards, 9 touchdowns last year, averaged 17.3 yards per reception.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you are not watching some Nevada football early in the season this year, you're doing it wrong. They have Carson Strong and Romeo Doubs. You need to analyze both of these young men as NFL prospects. Matt just mentioned it. Doubs is 6'2", 200 pounds. He has NFL size, and he's a home run hitter. It's in with Matt Mummy coordinating this offense. Last year, the Wolfpack totaled 441 yards per game, 320 passing yards per game, and scored nearly 31 points per game. During his campus tenure, Doubs has logged 145 receptions for 2,213 yards and 15 touchdowns. He's not right now. He's on that edge of like really Debbie. You might get a value in him. He's not someone people are clamoring in Debbie drafts. He's not like Jalen Cropper, who we were just not Jalen Tolbert. He's not at that level on the NFL radar. But Romeo Doubs, you need to pay attention. Watch some Nevada football. Doubs is a star.
All right, John, speaking of stars in the making, John Metchie could be the next big one coming out of Alabama. 6'0", 195, and he's stepping into really for the first time. Alabama has a young wide receiver core, and I know there's a lot of folks that are excited about the incoming five-star wide receivers, but if we know anything about Nick Saban, you have to earn your playing time and you have to earn your volume on that offense. And I think John Metchie is the guy that's going to step in and really absorb the bulk of it. 55 receptions, 916 yards, and 6 touchdowns. And I'm not worried at all about the quarterback change, because even without seeing him on the field for a significant amount of time, I think we're getting an easy increase here in, from Bryce Young to Bryce Young, I should say, from Mac Jones. So I'm all in here on the John Metchie train, at least when it comes to specific 2021 production.
The CFF community has very different opinions on John Metchie as a college fantasy football asset this year. Matt, I'm all in. I'm not the brightest bulb in the circuit, but I bet on systems. And all I know is the Alabama system rocks. They've had 4 number one draft picks over the past 2 seasons: Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs, Devonta Smith, and Jaylen Waddle. And all 4 of them have made significant contributions at different times in college fantasy football. Metchie stepped onto the field when Waddle got hurt last year. And Metchie was very good, Matt. 55 receptions, 916 yards, 16.7 yards per catch. Bryce Young is a rising star. Go to our CFF quarterback breakdown. Total confidence in Bryce Young to get Metchie the football. All the other players, Matt, you alluded to it. The wide receiver core is very young. at Alabama. And I know they're four-star athletes, five-star athletes, but experience matters. You're this coaching staff. You have a sophomore quarterback, inexperienced. You have an inexperienced wide receiver core. You're going to run the football, and you're going to pepper your upperclassman who is proving it on the field. I like Mechie a ton.
All right, John. We already alluded to this player earlier, so I don't feel the need to give you a big windup and pitch because I'm just going to sit back and let you muse on your guy, Garrett Wilson.
I am definitely a Garrett Wilson guy. And I am in the minority on this one. I'm getting every bit of value that I can out of this Ohio State Buckeye offense. Wilson tends to be the one who slips a little bit. I am surprised. He's 6 feet, 193. What I've liked, and I like the film work, and he's been spectacular since he walked onto the campus at Ohio State. What I've read this year, they are going to put Wilson in the slot. Matt, I don't think there's a Big Ten secondary that can cover Garrett Wilson from the slot position. Michigan, can't they get blown out by Ohio State every year? So, I mean, I don't know. You put this young man in motion. You put him on the inside. You put him at the X. I think he's versatile. I think he's spectacular hands. Look, and Olave's great. I mean, it, you know, this is kind of like the Judy Ruggs argument, right? They were both really good college players. I like Garrett Wilson. If Olave slips, I'll take Olave, but it tends to be Wilson who slips. To me, that's the value. I have him at number 7. I'm getting him as often as I can.
John, I am thrilled to talk about our number 6 player here, Khalil Shakur, out of Boise State, on all my Campus to Canton rosters. He's been there. He is on my deep Devy squads. This is a guy that I have been locked in on because of some great production. You look at his 2019 season, 63 receptions, 872 yards, 6 touchdowns for the Broncos. John, he's twitchy. He's sure-handed. He dominates over the middle of the field. And then look at his 2020 season, John. In just 7 games in the Mountain West, 52 receptions, 719 yards. Now, you'll get yourself in trouble, you know, extrapolating out, saying, if this held for a full season, but my goodness, John, if he got the 14 games in 2020 that he did in 2019, we're looking at 100-plus receptions and 1,500 yards. I mean, I am so excited about Shakur. I like Bachmeier throwing him the ball. I like Haloney. I like the entire Boise State offense.
I agree with you. I love the Boise State offense, and I love the game, the blue turf in Boise. It's so much fun to watch the Broncos play football out there. My only concern a little bit, since 2006, Boise State's only had 2 coaches, Chris Peterson and Brian Harsin. But Harsin went to Auburn this year to take his, you know, to see if he can – reignite that Tigers offense. Andy Avalos comes over from Oregon. He was the Ducks defensive coordinator and inside linebacker coach. I do think his gut instinct is probably to roll back the offense a little bit and play conserve. Now, I do think rational coaching applies here. The Broncos have too much talent to just stop throwing the football, right? You mentioned Bachmeier, the quarterback. Shakur is a stud, and you have Haloney. So I do think they'll throw. Those are my only concerns with Shakur is the change on the coaching staff. Are they going to be as dynamic and throw the ball as deep as they have in the past decade? But the talent is clearly there. He's in my top 6. He's in for a big season.
All right, John, speaking of changes in coaching staffs here, we're going to head to Central Florida, and boy, did they have a big one here. But we have Jalen Robinson, number 5 here, 5'9", 163, so definitely a smaller wide receiver, but some proven production as a true freshman here for the Golden Knights, 55 receptions, 979 yards, 6 touchdowns, and of course, We still have Dylan Gabriel at the helm, which has to inspire confidence in any wide receiver.
Our only question is Gus Malzone.
Which is a big question.
Will the new head coach continue to let this offense hum? The Knights have been so good for the past 3 or 4 years, Matt. Just let them click. This offense, this wide receiver core, do you know they have more NFL prospects or more NFL players at wide receiver than any other group of five program? That's how dynamic UCF has been over the last 5 years.
Wow.
Tre'Quan Smith, Gabriel Davis.
My man, Gabriel Davis.
Trey Nixon was a very good college fantasy football. I do think he's still floating around NFL rosters out there. Last year, Marlon Williams, he was a big play threat. Jalen Robinson, when you watch him last year, Matt, they can't cover him. He transferred from the Sooners, and he wasn't getting the playing time, and it just kind of the writing is in the wall. I mean, they're so loaded, and he was a four-star prospect. He looked around, and he chose UCF. And if you read quotes from him in the stories, he knew that his skill set was going to play and transfer, and he'd be a star in this Knights offense. Again, last year, he was one of those waiver wire darlings very early. He exploded out of the gate, and he had a tremendous season. He's number five on my list. My only concern is Gus Malzone, my friend.
All right, moving on to number four here. We're staying in the American because we're talking Calvin Austin out of Memphis, 5'9", 162, and some major production for the Tigers last season. Over 1,000 receiving yards, double-digit touchdowns, and 16.7 yards per reception.
We often talk about systems in college fantasy football. Calvin Austin is in the right system. We have so many explosive playmakers for the Memphis Tigers in the last decade. But two words always pop in my mind when I watch Calvin Austin: blazing speed. He was a track star in high school. Matt, he dreamed of playing for the Tigers, but he didn't get on campus for football. He came there for his track and field, and he was a great 4x100 athlete. He kept working at football, and he finally got his chance. Last year, Kenneth Gainwell opted out, but more importantly, their star wide receiver, Damonte Coxey, opted out after like two games for the Memphis Tigers. Calvin Austin was ascended into the starting lineup, and you mentioned, and you just talked about how great the production was for Calvin Austin. Defensive backs in the American Athletic Conference, Matt, they literally can't cover this man. They can't catch up with him. He is just so fast, and they are going to get him the ball at Memphis. He's my number four. And now we go to the big boys, Matt.
All right, and we are certainly starting off strong here in the top three. And you want to talk about, John, we talked about Clemson having a little bit of a claim to wide receiver U, and of course Ohio State has a claim to that. I think the school that owns it, at least to this moment, is LSU, and Kayshon Boutte is going to be the next guy to really rise into that status. Now, John, overall on the season last year, as a true freshman, Boutte, 45 receptions, 735 yards, 5 touchdowns. However, let's take a closer look here and talk about when Terrace Marshall opted out at the very end of the season. Remember, it was just the end of the season against Alabama, one of the best defenses in the country, 8 receptions, 111 yards against Florida. 5 receptions, 108 yards, and a touchdown. And, John, against the poor Mississippi defense, 14 receptions, 308 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Boutte is the next star in college football. And, of course, at the wide receiver position, he's wearing the purple and gold.
We are not supposed to scout the uniforms. I get it, ladies and gentlemen. But I'm a big believer in culture. obviously, LSU has a culture of wide receiver dominance. A, they recruit the right athletes. B, they coach up those players. C, they create a system for them to excel in. Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry, DJ Chark, Justin Jefferson, Terrence Marshall, and Ja'Marr Chase. Kayshon Boutte is the next great LSU Tiger wide receiver. Matt, when Terrence Marshall opted out, I think he stopped after seven games. It was Boutte's offense as a true freshman.
Amazing.
Ladies and gentlemen, he was a true freshman. And they said, here's the keys to the car. And you know what? He was a star down the stretch. Ed Orgeron, the head coach, obviously losing Joe Brady from the national championship team. They did not have the success that they had hoped the next season. Now, they had a lot of problems at quarterback, challenges at the quarterback position. But they brought in a new offensive coordinator. And from what I'm reading, they've simplified the offense. Boutte has been quoted as saying they are going to move him all over the formation, and that now that he's more familiar with the offense, think about it. This young man said he wasn't as familiar with the offense as a true freshman, and he destroyed the SEC. Matt, Boutte is going to be a star as a sophomore.
I'll tell you what, John, this number two wide receiver coming in here is equally as exciting, but for totally different reasons, and that's Treylon Burks out of Arkansas. I got to tell you, John, digging into Burks' tape today, I knew he'd be fun. I knew he would be excited. I was surprised just how athletic this 6'3", 230-pound wide receiver is and how they used him. Dude. I mean, I will be honest. I think the Arkansas coaching staff was big-braining it a little bit too much with what they were trying to do with their offense. But not the point. I mean, Burks is in. He's split in. He's out wide. He's lined up as a back in the backfield, John. He's in motion. This guy's 6'3", 230. And he was successful in just about everything they asked him to do. 820 yards, seven touchdowns with a brand new coaching staff in play. And John, I am so excited for what he's going to do this year. He's the guy for Arkansas. The offense is funneling through him.
And ladies and gentlemen, if Felipe Franks was good enough to get the ball to Treylon Burks, I don't care who thrown the ball. You're not going to be worse than Felipe Franks.
And so, I know Arkansas is excited about KJ Jefferson, too.
Yes, they're actually very excited about KJ Jefferson. But, you know, sometimes I would be a little worried about the turnover of a player who had 5 years. But this, I think KJ Jefferson will probably be better. He can't be really worse.
He can't be worse. He cannot. Felipe Franks, John, quick aside, he had the lowest grade of any graded out player on the rookie big board last year. He's not good.
He's just not that good. I don't know why people do not think Treylon Burks is athletic. I think they look at him, Matt, at 6'3 and 225, and I believe they make the assumption. For whatever reason, maybe it's because he was only a four-star prospect. He is uber athletic, beyond athletic. Matt, when he goes to the NFL, and I think he'll declare next year, people are going to love his early breakout age. We're going to hear about that all next year. And then they're going to love his early dynamism. As a freshman, he returned punts and kicks, and he was second team all SEC. So we're going to hear about the early breakout age. We're going to hear about the early dynamism. Ladies and gentlemen, watch the tape. He's as athletic as Courtland Sutton and Demaryius Thomas. He doesn't get the credit that he deserves, and I do not know why. I believe, and Matt said everything perfectly, they move him around the formation. He dominates people. So what I think, people see the domination at the catch point and his physicality, and they lock in their mind that he's this big receiver. guys, you have to watch the route where he's running passes from. As Matt said, they put him in motion. This young man is as talented as anyone in the SEC. Matt, if he was playing at Alabama or LSU, I mean, I think he would be on SportsCenter all the time. The system and the quarterback is not as good at Arkansas. I believe he goes to the combine next year or his pro day. He's going to blow people away with his athleticism. And when they see 6'3", 225, he's going to shoot up boards like Cortland Sutton did. I do see he's a better route runner than Demaryius Thomas. Now, Demaryius Thomas is so physical, so big. He used to just beat people with that size. But Treylon Burks, I believe, is a better athlete, and he's going to come out and blow people away like Cortland Sutton, my number two college fantasy football wide receiver.
All right, and if you listen to John, if you follow John's work, if you know John at all, you knew who the number one wide receiver is going to be for these rankings, for this episode. It is, of course, Purdue's David Bell. You know, John, the production is clear here. In 12 games as a true freshman, you want to talk about breakout age, 1,035 yards, 7 touchdowns in 6 games in 2020, 8 touchdowns in 6 games. From a production standpoint, he is Purdue. Rondale Moore is off to the NFL. And can we, I mean, quick aside, how is Purdue so bad with such good wide receivers?
But that's a good question.
writing up David Bell today, you know, I think he is going to be a fascinating player from a draft perspective. I could see him going round 1. I could see him going round 3. This season is so critical for David Bell, and you have to think he's going to step up and step into that size. Fantastic hands. The only thing I worry about, John, and this might be a reflection of quarterback play more than anything, I didn't see this consistent separation like I would like to. However, even then, he makes the catch. He always finds a way to make the catch. It's incredible. And it's almost like, man, I wish you could make it easier for yourself, but it doesn't matter because you're making it work. So the production's there. The touchdowns are there, which is the gold mine here for David Bell at Purdue.
Right now, I have a second round grade. Now, I do have him at the top of my board. I think he'll be hurt a little bit by playing in the Big Ten. If you've been watching the drafts in the last 4 or 5 years, look at Rashad Bateman dropped a little bit, right? Rondell Moore dropped a little bit. Other than Ohio State, Big Ten receivers don't really get a lot of first-round draft capital in the last 6 years. I think he has a first-round potential. I would like to see a little bit of growth, but man, talk about immediate breakout age. NFL dynasty community is going to love the early breakout age. And we did a Debbie seminar on him last summer. We broke him down. And I said, man, he popped out when I was trying to study Rondell Moore last year.
Right.
And as I'm studying Rondell Moore, I keep seeing this guy, David Bell. And then Rondell Moore missed some time. And the more I watch Bell, I'm like, I'm not convinced he's not better. Now, they're totally different. That's the challenge, right? Rondell Moore and David Bell. Man, if we could have seen them both on the field 1 year with like a real good quarterback, Matt, oh, my God, it might have been so exciting because they really didn't play that much together. 6'2", 205, Bell is physical. He doesn't shy away from competition. He doesn't shy away from contact. Matt, he always seems to catch the ball. Like, you're like, how did he catch that ball? Like, you're like, now, there is the concern. Why is the separation not there? So we're going to have a lot of film study. We're going to have some debates about David Bell. Is it the scheme? Is it his age? Does he rely on his physical nature? We can discuss all that. But he is going to be peppered with targets at Purdue. They will get him the ball, quick screens. They're going to get him on jet sweeps. They'll run him deep. They'll put him in the slot. Love him. My number one wide receiver.
All right, John, that's wide receivers 24 through 1 for us from a college fantasy football perspective. We like to finish off all the episodes of this series here with list of three personal sleepers for both of us. So, John, I'll go first here, and I have three very different types of sleepers here. And the first one is Justin Shorter, formerly of Penn State, now with the Gators. I believe Shorter's coming in at 6'5". He's big-bodied, and all the reports out of camp are that he's going to be the Gators' wide receiver this year. The Gators, it might take them a while to get on the field, but once they pick the wide receiver, they hyper-focus that wide receiver. And I think that the highly talented, highly athletic, nice-sized Justin Shorter could be the guy for the Gators this year. Now, he's under the radar because, you know, we're looking at a quarterback change here. We're not sure how it's going to work. But if Dan Mullen is known for anything in his coaching career, it's always being able to get the most schematically out of his quarterback, I should say. And I think Justin Shorter is going to help that. So he's the wide receiver that I would want in Florida. Now, Tyrell Shavers is always a guy in the back of my head. Shavers, originally an Alabama recruit, so clearly talented, highly thought after, starts at Alabama, transfers to Mississippi State, ends up playing about three games in Mike Leach's offense there last year before he got the boot along with a lot of other players as Leach kind of came in and took, you know, brought his guys in and took the other guys out. So now Shavers is out at San Diego State, and I think he'll have the opportunity to have high volume there in that Aztec offense. So he's somebody that I'm watching. And then, of course, Wandale Robinson. I know the Wildcats are psyched about Wandale Robinson, a recruit, high school recruit, initially out of Kentucky. Kentucky fans thought that they were going to get him out of high school. He goes to Nebraska, but now he's back with the Wildcats. And I can tell you, you know, the early rumblings are that the Wildcats are going to run their offense through Wandale Robinson. He could catch the ball. He could run the ball. He's going to have touchdown possibilities in a lot of different ways. And, you know, out of the SEC East, you know, there's a lot of volatility there. Kentucky has an opportunity to ride a wave and take advantage of that. And, you know, there's some good buzz out from Will Levis, the former Penn State wide receiver or quarterback, I should say, that's now coming in and leading the Kentucky offense. So those are my three sleepers, John, for very different reasons. You got scheme, you got opportunity, and then you have just straight up talent with Wandale Robinson.
Matt, so you took all power five. So what I decided to do is I was going to go group of five to give all of our viewers, if some people play in power five or group of five only college fantasy football drafts, I want to know all the prospects. So I like going all 130 teams. So I'm going to go a little bit into the group of five guys. And the first one I'm going to go is Tyrese Ritchie out of Northern Illinois. And what I like about him is he is a big athlete. He is just so much bigger than anyone he's playing against. And in my, you know, over decade playing college fantasy football, Matt, when I can get a big athlete against smaller cornerbacks in the group of five level, I like those types of players because you don't have elite defensive backs at these smaller programs. So when you get a talent or a prospect who's 6'1", 6'2", over 200, it is very difficult. And the overall defensive coordinators, they can't slow down these passing games because they don't have the pass rush. They don't have the secondary. So I like Tyrese Ritchie of Northern Illinois. My second one, Sam Pinckney of Georgia State. We've talked about UTSA and we've talked about Fresno. One of the underappreciated offenses is Georgia State, Matt. They averaged 33 points a game last year, 273 passing yards per game. Sam Pinckney had 47 receptions for 815 yards and 7 touchdowns, averaging 17.3 yards per catch. Ladies and gentlemen, he was all Sun Belt and Biletnikoff Award watch list. Sam Pinckney, similar to Tyrese Ritchie, 6'4", 210. Matt, The Sun Belt just doesn't have defensive backs who can cover them, and the Panthers have an exciting dual threat quarterback in Cornelius Brown. So he should be peppered with targets. Oh, I do have a power five wide receiver.
I thought that was just a slight, John. I thought you were trying to take a shot here at the program.
I could make the argument Rutgers isn't a group of five, right? They are a group of five. Bo Melton, the coaching staff likes him. They've talked him up throughout the offseason. Greg Schiano loves him as a leader. Melton came back for his fifth year on campus. Last year, he had 47 receptions for 638 yards and 6 touchdowns in only 9 games. Why do I like him even more, Matt? Rutgers is going to be playing from behind. Scarlet Knights are not good. He might get peppered with like 6 targets in the fourth quarter. The Scarlet Knights will try to slow the game down in the first half, but by the second half, they're more likely to be behind. And Bo Melton is going to be the receiver who's getting peppered with targets late in the game. Bo Melton is my third sleeper. Tyrese Ritchie, Northern Illinois, Sam Pinckney, Georgia State, and Bo Melton, Rutgers.
All right, there you have it. In total, 30 wide receivers that are at the top of both of our radars here heading into this college fantasy football campus to Canton. Devy, overall college football season that John gets closer and closer every episode, and it becomes more and more exciting. We will be back to wrap up this series next week. We will have tight ends and a special second segment. Don't worry, we're not going to list 30 tight ends for you, we promise, but we're going to give you the top tight ends you need to know about, and we're going to add in a fun second segment as well next week. As always, we appreciate you listening. If you have not already subscribed to the channel, left us a review, we would really appreciate that. And as always, we appreciate